This is Believe in Buckeyes. This show is brought to you by Bet Online. Chimp, hit him with that.
But Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow on for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel free to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLERS. They're 24/7 to help you out anything you may need in that category. But yes, this is Believe in Buckeyes. I'm Brian Browning. This is All-American quarterback Chindi Chekwa. We got an interesting show today. We're going to talk about some Big Ten football. Why not? We talk about the Big Ten all the time on this show. But yeah, Shem, I mean, how you doing over there? You looking nice, man. Looking good, man.
Yeah, I got my melon.
Melon chat on. Looking good, man. Good. Yeah, but first, we got to make some announcements, man. First, we're going to talk about this transfer portal. We lost a few guys in the transfer portal at the spring ball. Cedric Hawkins, Jahia Carter, both playing that safety position. Nigel Glover, linebacker, who I feel like he just got here. Right? He's back into the portal. And then also Keon Gray's wide receiver. But yeah, man, how you doing over there? Transfer portal. Are you concerned? Any alerts? What's going on?
I mean, you know, some transfer. You expect some transfers in this environment after the spring. Guys went out there. Guys competed. Kind of figured out their position or their status, I guess, on the team. Mm-hmm. And they have to make decisions. So some guys made some decisions. Jahia Carter was a guy who transferred in a couple seasons ago from Syracuse. Right. Great player at Syracuse. Things just didn't work out here. He had some injuries, got nicked up, and, you know, some challenges there. Nigel was a guy I actually was able to connect with prior to him going to Ohio State. Was originally committed to Northwestern, went to Ohio State. Seems like things didn't work out. Still a young player, so a lot of opportunity. I'm starting to feel, though, like, you know, the safety position. I know we talk a lot about the talent on defense. We talk a lot about the depth at the cornerback position and just the talent at defensive back in general. However, you know, we're losing some depth at that safety position. And you think about a defense that plays typically with three safeties or five defensive backs. And also, you know, a guy like Lakeland Ransom who dealt with some injuries last year. Mm-hmm. You had guys to come in to fill in. And the other thing about linebacker and safety, like, these guys play special teams as well. So, you know, losing guys in that position, and, you know, a lot of times we lose a guy and you don't, you know, fans don't know their name. So they're like, oh, well, you know, we're fine. Yeah, but you got potentially 16 games, 17 games in a college football playoff. You're going to need the depth, right? Yeah. So there's, you know, if I look across the team, to me, that safety position is one of the biggest weaknesses just from a depth standpoint. And, you know, it's a good thing we got Caleb Downs in.
Yeah.
But after Caleb, after Lathan Ransom, obviously there's some guys who can come in, fill in, and play. But, you know, we're starting to get really thin in that position, in my opinion.
Yeah. So we've seen over the spring, right? I mean, we've seen Bonsu playing a lot of that safety position. And also we had Jermaine Matthews coming back to play a lot of that safety role as well. But like you said, just not a ton of guys. So do you think Ohio State will make a move in the transfer portal? Or do you think we kind of set where we're at and just look to develop guys now that they kind of know, you know, essentially where we are at when it comes to that role?
Yeah, so I think you meant Malik Harford in terms of one of the younger safeties. I mean, I think if there's a guy who fits the profile of being able to fill in the depth, I don't think it can hurt. And, you know, the reality is, in, like, again, a potentially extended season, guys could potentially be in and out of the lineup. You don't want to have a guy be your safety of the defense and have to come in there, you know, no experience, you know, eyes wide, right? And not saying that the young guys that you know, have gotten reps will be that. However, you want to be prepared if they are, you have some guys who could come in and fill those roles. So I don't know. I don't know that they make a move in the transfer portal. I think it's one of those situations. Ohio State seems to be like a team that isn't super active, but if there is a need, they fill it. If the, you know, the right player comes along, so I think that's still how they play it. However, there's also the opportunity. You got a lot of corners. One of those corners could play safety. Jordan Hancock could play more nickel, and you can just go with two safeties. You mentioned Matthews. Maybe he could fill in the emergency safety position. So, you know, there's things that can be done, but I do think it's something to keep an eye on, you know, as we move into the fall, et cetera. And you've lost some guys at the position. That's a very important position moving forward.
Yeah, and I agree. Obviously, like I say, if it's a problem, we need to patch it up. But there's one thing about a defensive back, right? If you go out there and, like you say, wide-eyed, lack of experience, it could easily cost you a game, right? I mean, easily, right? I mean, we already know it's one of the toughest positions because you go out there and slip for whatever reason, it could be a touchdown just like that. So other than that, I feel like the team is pretty set. I mean, obviously, there's some competition in certain spots, but I don't think we really need to be in the portal trying to bring guys in. Obviously, some competition off the line. I think, to me, it should be over. I think we should just kind of plug Hensman in at that right guard position and play with it from there. Obviously, a little lack of experience in that linebacker position, but, you know, we've got definitely capable guys to kind of to learn and play and fill in. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, we'll see, right? You never know. It might be a big recruit out there that Ohio State has always had their eye on that becomes available, so they look to bring them in. But right now, I don't think it's I agree, it's not really the biggest need. Like last year when we brought in a left tackle at the spring ball, you know, it was a kind of a sense that we was going to make a move there, but I don't feel like we had that same kind of energy this spring.
What's a little bit surprising, we talk about transfer portal moves, is what we didn't lose. Right, there was no quarterback out of Ohio State that entered the transfer portal. When going into the spring, like you look at it, it's like one of these guys got to, you know, one of you think one of these guys are leaving, right? Five quarterbacks, all guys who could go somewhere and really compete potentially to start. So that I thought that was interesting that we were able to retain all the quarterbacks, so that, you know, the quarterback room was good moving into the fall.
And I'm sorry, I admit it, Unique Vamahi, he's also into the transfer portal. We recall him, he had his first start last year in the Cotton Bowl against Missouri. And so now we're going to talk about Big Ten ball. Tim had the idea we should kind of just go through the teams, right? I mean, let's talk about who's there, pit these guys into some tiers. Obviously, with spring ball ending for everyone, the teams are pretty much set. Like you said, there might be a little bit of movement here, but you shouldn't really. If chances are, it's not going to be really too many big names that's going to really sway your team going into the fall camp. So the teams are set. Chill, let's start off with tier one. Who do you have at that top tier when you look at a team, talent, coach, checking all those boxes? The tier one teams of the Big Ten.
So my tier one, I mean, obviously Ohio State is tier one. I think Ohio State, you know, looking across their depth chart, the coaching staff, I mean, they're like a top two or three team in the country, right? And similarly, I think Oregon is that as well. So to me, that top tier is Ohio State and Oregon. I wouldn't say head and shoulders above everybody else in the Big Ten, but head and shoulders above most in the Big Ten. But I think clear cut the two top teams, and to me, not just for this next season. I think as you kind of look forward, like those are going to be the two heavyweights in the Big Ten. Talent wise, I think coaching. You look at Oregon's coach Dan Lanning. After Nick Saban left, they were trying to get him to come to Alabama, and he said, "No, I'm good where I'm at." Right? What he's built there, you can tell by how highly coveted he is. And then the talent, man, like they're getting, you know, there's a lot of talk about Colorado and the transfer portal and who they get. The biggest winner to me in the transfer portal has been Oregon. Okay. They're getting all the big guys out of the portal. And it's starting at quarterback. And they were successful with getting a quarterback out of the portal last year. Mm-hmm. And they've only lost – you look at their games last year, they only lost to one team. They lost to them twice. But they only lost to one team. And I think, you know, those would be my top-tier teams, clear cut, for sure.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, when you just look at basically, let's call it the offseason, right? The offseason that these two teams had, right? Filling in holes where they needed. I looked at Oregon's potential depth chart, right? They had about seven starters out of the transfer portals on their first team offensive defense. And it's led, like you say, by the quarterback. We're talking about a dynamic quarterback at Oklahoma. So dynamic, it's like, it's one of those questions where, like, what do you mean he getting into the portal? But we know how the game is now, right? You kind of go out there to kind of accumulate the largest paycheck you can. It looks like Oregon is, you know, has the dollars to bring in those talent. Obviously, for years, Oregon has always had some of the coolest uniforms. So that's always kind of, you know, got some talent out there. But now, in this NIL era, they're getting the recruits there as well. So you expect them to be right up there with Ohio State, who also got a transfer quarterback on the roster, has a lot of young talent. But the biggest thing with this Ohio State roster, as we know, is who we was able to retain from last season, right? All the guys on the defense that we was able to get back, receivers, things of that nature. So I think if you're looking at tiers, you definitely put those two up there. Obviously, this year we get to see them play, right? I think it's week five of college football. Ohio State travels to play Oregon. But, you know, either way. So one of those teams will win, one will lose, right? Obviously, I'm picking Ohio State. But even if they do lose that game, you expect these teams to have a very strong record and be one of the top teams when it's look at that, making the playoff next year.
So you said something, you know, a guy like Dillon Gabriel who has a good year, now in today's college football, goes and explores to see, you know, where can I get more money. It's no coincidence Ohio State and Oregon probably have the top two NIL packages. I don't have no inside sources in terms of how much guys are making or nothing like that. But from the outside looking in, I'm pretty sure that Ohio State and Oregon are top also when it comes to NIL.
Yeah.
And Oregon may be, you know, there's a lot of talk about Ohio State and I don't know, there's numbers being thrown out there. Oregon may be the top when it comes to NIL. You know, you talked about their jerseys. It used to be that, you know, everything they did came out in jerseys and cleats and visors and helmets and all that stuff. But now that players can actually get paid in a certain way, you know, can make money off their likeness, they're able to flex that a little bit more, right? And if you're not, may not be going to Oregon for the city, you may not be going to Oregon for all the other stuff that you may choose some of these other schools for. But the NIL package, I can assure you, is probably top tier at Oregon. So, yeah, for all those points, man, they're going to be, not just this year, but for a long time, those two teams are going to be beneficiaries of some of the top talent in the transfer portal and when it comes to recruiting, and probably the top two teams in the Big Ten.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let's get into tier two. Tier two is I feel like tier one was kind of obvious, right? For a lot of reasons, I feel like tier two is a little bit more, kind of sort of debatable, right? Because all in this list we put in this, like I said, it's 18 teams in the Big Ten, so we did the best we can. But in tier two, we put in Michigan, USC, Penn State, and Washington. So these are all teams we felt obviously are definitely competing for a national championship. But right now, just looking at their roster and where they lined up, it just doesn't feel like they're at that same level as Ohio State and Oregon. What do you think about these tier two teams? Obviously, Michigan and Washington went to the national championship last year, and we have them listed in the tier twos. But what do you think about these programs, what they're going to bring to the Big Ten, and essentially how they fit when it comes to that elite status in college football?
So it's kind of interesting, right? So Washington and Michigan get to the national championship. So you should think that they come back as tier one teams. I think both of them lost their coaches. I know both of them lost their coaches, right? So Washington's coach goes to Alabama, Harbaugh goes to NFL. And in today's game, college football, when you lose your general, you lose some troops. Right, like things are different. I think Michigan actually has done a pretty solid job of keeping the players. Obviously, that part of that comes from promoting from within, etc. But they didn't do a great job of keeping their coaches. Right, yeah. Like, I mean, they lost a lot of coaches They had a lot of good players go to the NFL. I think they had the most guys drafted in this past draft. But they also have a good group of guys coming back. I think their defense still is a top-level defense, talent-wise. I think their offensive structure is still solid. Question at the quarterback position. I really think they have a question mark, and that question mark comes from a first-year head coach, a guy who, you know, could probably – he's proved that he can call plays and, you know, manage a game, et cetera. But can he be the CEO of a team in this era? I honestly think this first year, though, that's why I think they're tier two. They're still a solid team. Mm-hmm. I think moving next year and the following years is going to become harder and harder for them to hold on to. Washington is interesting because it's weird how they lost their coach. A lot of players went to Alabama. They gained Arizona's coach, and a lot of Arizona's players went to Washington. There's a lot of questions. I think there's more questions from Washington, and it's almost like they get the benefit of the doubt because they made it to that level last year. But what's your take on Washington and Michigan?
I just feel I agree what you say. Michigan, in my opinion, is going to lose games next year. I think they have a much tougher schedule than they had the year before. They play a lot of last year. It was really could be debated that only solid teams that they played was Penn State and Ohio State. Obviously, they won those games, but, you know, leading to the regular season. This year it would not be like that for them. So their style of play will keep them in all games, right? Good defense, being able to run the ball. But I just feel like this is going to come down to it where they're just not going to have everything that they need to kind of come off across. But they will be competitive. Obviously, we have to beat them, right? They beat us for 3 years in a row. A couple of asterisks on those wins, but they won the game. Washington went 13-1 last year, went to the national championship. So once again, we don't want to be disrespectful to these teams, but obviously there's a lot of question marks coming into this year and what they're actually going to bring. I feel like Washington will lose a couple games, most likely. But I feel like when it comes down to it, they still will be kind of, you know, in that conversation in the hunt as a team that could potentially make the playoffs. We look at USC, obviously. Go ahead. Yeah,
that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you about USC. What's your take on USC?
USC is going to score points, right? They're going to be explosive on offense. They're going to score some points. They have Lincoln Riley there, and that's essentially what he does. They got rid of defensive staff, so that was a good thing, right? That defense, obviously, it lit Caleb Williams down, had Caleb Williams crying multiple times in the season because he just could not score enough to keep up with his defense was giving up. But they clean slate there. They got a new guy in, and you will expect them to improve. Lincoln went to USC on a very high horse, if you recall, right? He left Oklahoma. Yeah. I believe they made him one of the top paid coaches in college football at the time, you know, talking about private jets and things of that nature. So they put the investment in him to win games. So I will believe they will continue to do that, and USC have a successful program next year and be very competitive. Now,
so my USC, USC is really iffy. Like they barely make the second tier, not because of talent. USC does not have a talent issue. USC's head coach, to me, he coaches the game like he's playing Madden, like he's playing college football. Like they have a great offense, but to me, it's not a team. It's not a team. It's an offense. And they haven't put the investment in the defense. They got talent on defense. Yeah. They just haven't put the investment in the attention to detail. And even the way they call plays on offense, it's like at some play you got to control the game, like control the clock, run the ball, slow the tempo down. You got the lead. Like it's almost like they just play how I used to play Madden. Just, you know, we're going 5 wide. I'm going to keep throwing it. I'm trying to flip points. I'm
going to stick around.
So they can't bring that to the Big Ten, man. They're going to have to be a little bit more solid on defense, a little more attention to detail. I'm interested in it. I'm also interested in USC playing in cold weather during the season. So that's going to be interesting.
I'm not going to – Penn State, we know what Penn State brand. They're always right there. But I would say, you know, they got to beat one of the big boys to kind of get to that next level. And for every reason, they tend to struggle with it. What's your take on Penn State? I'm just going to leave it at that. What's your take on Penn State?
You know my take on Penn State. You know my take on Penn State. Penn State is a tier two team for life. Like, they will not, listen, Penn State will not move up to tier one. They will not fall down to tier three. They are who they are. They remind me of like the Bengals when they had, what was the coach?
Marvin Lewis.
Well, Marvin Lewis Bengals, right? They're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have a winning record. Mm-hmm. But we don't expect them to do anything in the playoffs. We don't expect them to actually. Now, with the 12-team playoffs now, Penn State has a shot to compete and slide into a playoff spot. I don't think they do it. They to me, they feel like the team that's almost there. They'll almost get in, but they won't. And I know that has to be frustrating as a fan because you start every season with high hopes. You end every season the same. And it's almost like when it's the same thing year after year, it becomes boring, right? Either, yeah. You know, but yeah, I don't see Penn State. I just see Penn State as the same team that they've always been. They'll compete with the big dogs, but they won't overtake.
Yeah. And it's funny enough, it's like, you know, before the change to the Big Ten, like, let's say the conference stayed the same, the Pac 12, wherever it's called, still existed. You know, obviously they're liking, you know, a little bit of nothing over there now. And the Big Ten stayed the same as it was, you know, a couple years ago. And they probably make it, you know, they probably get that. You know, that they probably really right there into the playoffs. But now you add these other teams in. And now it's like kind of put them back in that same boat where, in our opinion, that they would just kind of be in that discussion. Like, oh, is Penn State going to get in? We don't know. They're kind of right there. You know, let's see how they – if they could beat one of the top teams and kind of take it from there. So that's the story of Penn State.
They'll be good.
James Franklin's Penn State team so far. Yeah. But let's talk about tier three, because tier three is interesting to me, and a little bit due to the fact that the teams that we put there, and once again, I feel like they really are hindered by this change to the Big Ten, and including all these Pac 12 teams to the conference. We got Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Minnesota. What's your thoughts on teams like Iowa, Wisconsin holding on that tier three spot, but knowing that if most likely it'd be an uphill battle for them to get into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think Iowa to me is the weirdest one, because you talk about elite level defense and very, very poor offense. It's almost like there's like night, their defense versus offense is like night and day. So to me, Iowa has the biggest opportunity, and I don't know how many guys they lost and stuff. They lost some good players to the NFL. On defense, but they have the real opportunity to just give them do something on offense. I think Kay McNamara will still be at the quarterback next year, I believe so. But if they can improve, there's no way they can be worse on offense. Let's start there. It can't be worse than what they've been. Like, it's impossible to be worse. So if they can just improve a little bit offensively, I think they're a solid team. They're not competing for a playoff, but I think they're right there in their tier three. They could potentially compete to be a tier two team if they just decide to even try offensively. Like, let's actually try to really be good and modernize the offense in any way, shape.
Yeah, I just have to agree. I mean, and then we're looking at Wisconsin. Obviously, we got Coach Fickell up in Wisconsin, and he's building this program up, right? Got some talent, did some recruiting, and we expect him to kind of take that next step forward, being that conversation of a team that could, you know, they're probably a knock off one of these top teams that's in the tier two. But there's a chance they might lose to a tier three, tier four. Because, you know, he's still been in that program, still kind of get guys in and kind of maintain that, get that level of excellence that he's expecting. And then the next two picks, really Nebraska and Minnesota, I think we both discussed it. It's really, we just got a lot of faith in the coaches, right? We got a lot of faith in PJ Fleck and Matt Rhule to be able to kind of make these teams competitive. Obviously, last year they did not, neither one of those teams had the season they wanted. But we believe that this year that they'll continue to improve their program and build forward from there. What's your thoughts on those?
Minnesota got a quarterback transferred in, so they got their quarterback, right, who should be a solid guy. I think Matt Rhule may be another year away, really, from truly competing. But I do think, you know, similar to Fickell, to me, Rhule does a good job of building the program. And I think he's just in that process. Maybe he can get it, you know, done a little bit faster than in the past, or maybe not. Minnesota underachieved last year, and they should be better. but you just never know it, right? they have stability at the head coach. They have a guy who seems like every other year he has a good year. So I think he's primed to really compete. I think a lot of those teams really are kind of damaged by this shift, as you mentioned, with no conferences. They don't have the West and the East where these guys are over fighting against each other and one of them can emerge. They just got to – they're playing everybody. But, yeah, I think this is where there's a lot more question marks. And you see coaches like Fickell, like Rhule, you know, how fast can they get to their you know, development of their team to be able to compete with some of the big dogs in the Big Ten.
Yeah. So then tier four, if we're going to say teams that we feel are most likely kind of competing to get bowl eligible, let's put it there. And that's really the rest of the Big Ten. We got Maryland, UCLA, Northwestern, Michigan State, Indiana, Rutgers, Purdue, Illinois. I put an asterisk on two of these teams, though, but I just had a little bit more to say. Northwestern went 8-5 last year. Okay. I know they had some stuff going on, right? Some hazing issues. But they went 8-5, and this year, if you play a game at Northwestern, you know you play it at, Chim? You play it on their practice field. You cannot be more comfortable than playing games on your own practice field. That's going to be a tough place to play, man. Northwestern.
It might feel like practice for real. I don't think Northwestern has a roster, but I didn't think so last year. Yeah, 8-5. So you know, but I don't believe in Northwestern. I don't think they can repeat another 8-5 season. My team that the most disappointing team out of that group to me is UCLA. I think UCLA has the potential, but they don't have the appetite. One of the reasons why Chip Kelly ended up leaving his head coaching position and going to be an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. They lost some guys, transfer portal, et cetera. So I think that's a disappointment. Let's see what UCLA can do. They have a nice coach that they hired, et cetera, but I'm interested to see how they shake out this year.
Yeah. And same thing with Michigan State, right? They had a big Hire brought in the coach from Oregon State, and he brought a big-time recruit with him at that quarterback position. And obviously, they had their controversy last year, right? Disappointed season, removal of the head coach. So, you know, I feel like Michigan State is a team that, you know, that was a couple years ago. They was right there. And then last year, the season that they had was, you know, pretty surprising that, you know, that obviously everything else kind of happened there as well. So you imagine that Michigan State has some pieces there, you know, to see if they could be kind of interesting, be exciting. I think Rutgers has been playing decent of the last several years. Maryland as well, right? We keep waiting for them to kind of knock off a top-tier team, you know, because they've been there in several games.
They won't do it.
They've been there. They had those conversations. But, and then the list is the list, right? I mean, Illinois has a coach. Purdue has a very young coach, so they're kind of on different spectrums there. But, you know, that's how we kind of feel the Bleeding Buckeyes, how we wanted to kind of shake out the Big Ten, getting ready for the summer, which is a very important time to develop a team.
Yeah, and tell them about these hats, man.
So, Chim, man, you got a nice hat on. It's crazy that it almost matches your outfit. I don't know, you know, how you kind of coordinated that a little bit, kind of sort of.
You're kind of tall.
But yeah, man, we got Melon, man. So we're doing a sponsorship by Melon now. Where they sent us some hats. They're very durable hats. They say they last at least 5 years. So you can work out in this thing. You can get it dirty. You can put it right in the wash machine. It comes clean. It pops right back up to normal. And I know all the hats I own, don't none of them do that. That is a fact.
For sure.
So they gave us a code to put onto our pages. So we'll put them on our social medias. I believe in Buckeye pages as well. So you can click the code and kind of check out some hats. Like I say, very durable. They definitely will get you through the summer. And once again, you can keep them for many a years. And sweat and work and do all those things in it, and they come out that
comfortable hat.
So more to come there. More to come in the Melon Hats, and we continue to drop some information on you there. And once again, that's our show for today. So we'd like to end all our shows with an OH.
Ayo.
Go Bucks. Catch you guys next week.
Go Bucks.
Unless something happened, we might jump on. All right.